invite you to take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And also find Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Last Sunday, we looked at a message entitled Christmas. We talked about God's secret. Today, we're going to talk about the Christmas miracle, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we find these words very, very familiar to you. He says here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. The date, you may want to write this down, was September the 19th, 1910. A man by the name of Clarence Heller in Chicago, Illinois, was having an average day with his family on that Saturday. He made a decision that he would repaint the exterior of his two-story home all by himself. He spent all day that Saturday, September the 19th, painting the trim work on the outside of his home. Everybody was tired after they had their evening meal, and so the whole family made their way to bed. Upstairs, in the bedroom, before Clarence Heller and his wife went to sleep, his wife said to Clarence, "The street light outside our daughter's room is burnt out." And back in those days, they were not electric, they were gas lights. So he said, "I think I'll just get up, go downstairs, go outside, and I'll figure out what's wrong with the gas lamp. We feel more secure when it's lit." He left the bedroom, started walking down the stairs. His wife heard some stumbling and scuffling and banging, and then she heard two gunshots. She rushed out of her room, and when she did, she heard the front door slam. She found her husband, who had been beaten and shot to death by a burglar. Less than a mile down the road, the police officers arrested a man by the name of Jennings, Thomas Jennings. He was a convicted burglar who was out on parole. Does that not sound familiar? When they found him, his left arm was torn and he had blood all over his body. When they questioned him, the authorities questioned him, he said, "I fell on a streetcar, injured my arm, and bloodied my body." But then they found a gun in one of his pants pockets that matched the murder weapon for Mr. Heller. However, ballistic reports were not as specific as they are now, and so police were having a hard time connecting Mr. Jennings to the murder of Mr. Heller. Then something very profound happened. Never happened in the conviction of a criminal. As the police officers looked around inside and outside the crime scene, they found four fingerprints from somebody's left hand that was on the handrail of the newly painted trim work on the outside of the house. When they looked at that, they saw that there was a distinct mark, a ridge by every one of those four fingerprints. And I want you to know, for the first time ever, fingerprint evidence was taken into a court of law to convict a criminal. The defense lawyer said, this is just not scientific. This shouldn't even be admissible as evidence. But four police officers testified, these are the fingerprints of the accused of the burglary and the murder. Also, the first time ever in the history of the United States justice system, a man was convicted of murder because of fingerprint evidence, and later he was hanged to his death. The premise behind fingerprint evidence is simple. Every one of us has unique ridges on our fingers. And when a print is found on an object that matches the print of ridges on a person's finger, the investigators may conclude with confidence that the specific individual has touched that object. You say, well, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Look at Isaiah 7:14 again. God inspired Isaiah to write, therefore, the Lord will give him, Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. The only one in all of human history that can match the fingerprint of God is the one and only virgin-born Jesus Christ. Retired television talk show host and liberal Larry King was asked right before he retired, all the important people you've interviewed through the years, who would you have liked to have interviewed most? And he said, I would have loved to have interviewed Jesus Christ. Somebody asked Larry King, what would you have asked him? He said, I would have asked him one question. Were you virgin born? He said, for if Jesus Christ was really virgin born, that would change the history of the world. Well, I've got news for Larry King. We have the evidence. It is in the Word of God. And I'm going to give Larry King this. He was right. The virgin birth of Jesus has changed the history of mankind. So let's look at the miracle of the virgin birth. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like I've come to a lecture today. No, you haven't. Why do we want to talk about the virgin birth? Listen. We've got so many religions and isms that ought to be wasms out in our nation. And we're told that, you know, you can catch any flight and it takes you to heaven. You need to know why you believe and what you believe. And the virgin birth is basic to our salvation. So notice, first of all, here, the virgin birth, we see the criticism about the virgin birth. In Isaiah 7:14 and in Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. You need to underscore that in your Bible. Highlight it on your smart pad, your smartphone, whatever you have there. This is the only time, past, present, or future, that a woman, a virgin, will be made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God took on flesh. I want you to know this is the absolute apex of prophecy in the Old Testament. Back in those days, Ahaz was the king of Judah. And I want you to know Ahaz had ruled for about 13 years. He got very insecure, and he thought that an enemy king, maybe the Assyrians, would come and dethrone him. So he robbed from Solomon's temple and bribed the king of Assyria. He said, I don't want you to attack me. I don't want you to invade me. I don't want you to help take care of all of our enemies. I want you to notice what happened. Isaiah was sent by God to King Ahaz. And he said, listen, I want you to call to God on high and trust him. And then in this same context, we see that Isaiah tells Ahaz, he said, there's a virgin's going to conceive one day, a son will be born, and the son will be God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Now, prophecy begins with this fact. The Lord himself will give you a sign. You would think that one statement about the virgin birth would be absolutely enough for everybody to believe in the virgin birth, knowing this is something that the Lord was going to do, but not so. Perhaps nothing in the Word of God has been more mocked, ridiculed, or scorned than the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is denied by preachers in pulpits across America and around the world. I want you to know, when we talk about the virgin birth, that professors behind podiums have even stood and discredited the virgin birth. Now, the first to try to discredit this were the Pharisees. You want to write this down in John 8:19. And here's what they said to Jesus. They said, "Where's your father?" 21st century, "Who's your daddy?" And you know what they're saying to him? "You're an illegitimate child. You were born out of wedlock. Who is your father? Where is he?" There was a book published several years ago that said that Jesus was the illegitimate child of a Roman soldier. How many of you remember Red Book magazine? Red Book magazine conducted a survey in Protestant colleges and seminaries across America and found out that 56% of their students do not believe in the virgin birth. Bishop Spong, in his book, Born of a Woman, said that Jesus was not born of a virgin since Mary had probably been raped. Listen to me carefully. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you run into a whole lot of problems. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe the narratives that are contained in the Word of God. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, Mary was stained with the sin of unchastity, bearing a baby out of wedlock. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, Jesus was mistaken about his paternity. Jesus' birth did not fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, he cannot be the Messiah. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, Jesus was an illegitimate child. Listen, if Jesus was born of a human father, he was under the Adamic curse and born in sin. Therefore, he could not be the divine redeemer. If this miracle is denied, there's no reason not to deny all the miracles the Bible tells us took place. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Bible, and I believe the miracles took place literally. And I believe virgin birth was God's idea and no problem to our Almighty God. The next thing I want you to see here is this. The confirmation of his birth. Notice it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Now notice the birth is called a sign. This book, The Sword of the Lord, says the virgin birth is the sign of the Lord. Now, we think about signs. Here's what we think about. Stop signs. Stop sign means to come to a complete halt. Count to three and go, if it's clear. We think about signs. We think about yard sale signs. We think about signs. We think about restaurant signs. Come and get a 20-inch pizza for $3.99 and a drink. By your own Tums. That's what you have to do. We have signs. There's signs about sporting events. I don't understand WrestleMania. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't understand cage fighting. I don't even want to see cage fighting. I guess if you don't have a brain, you don't worry about it getting damaged. If you're a cage fighter, am I correct? But we have signs that point to events and things. But I want you to see here in the Bible, this word sign doesn't mean that. It stands for a distinguishing mark. It consists of a dramatic, miraculous, sovereign intervention into the normal patterns and affairs of humankind. Incidentally, there are those who debate over the translation of this word. He said, I shall give you a sign, a virgin shall bear a son and call his name Jesus. That word virgin there, some translate just to mean a young maiden or a young woman. But keep in mind, we're specifically told the birth of Jesus Christ was to be a sign. A divine sign is miraculous by nature. So virgin here is the only legitimate translation in light of the statement that the birth is to be a sign. Now beyond that, now listen to me carefully. There are seven occurrences of this word virgin in the Old Testament. And every time that this word is used, it refers to a virgin, a maiden who has never been sexually active. Look specifically at what this sign will be. First of all, Isaiah said, the virgin shall conceive. You ever thought about this? No other virgin will ever be with child. Have you ever thought about that? No other virgin in the whole wide world, present or future, will be with child. Matthew understood this referred to a virgin. He also understood it referred to Mary. Matthew wrote these words, now all this, Matthew 1, 22 and 23, was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, translated God with us. Now the Greek word for virgin in the New Testament is parthenos. And I want you to know that it can't mean anything but virgin. It refers to a woman who is totally sexually abstinent. But maybe even more impressive is it Luke said in his gospel in Luke 1, 26 and 27. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now keep in mind, Luke is your only Bible writer inspired by God who was a doctor. So what we have here are the words of Dr. Luke. Keep in mind, Luke was very specific, and he would speak in the medical lingo of his day. He's very meticulous when he describes something physiologically. For example, when Mark speaks of a man with a shriveled hand in Mark chapter 3, verse 1. In Luke 6:6, Luke says the man's right hand was shriveled. When Matthew says that Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, Matthew 8:14, we look at Luke in 4:38, said she was suffering from a high fever. So I want you to know this meticulous doctor gives us more detail about the virgin birth than any other of the gospel writers, and he flatly states he was born of a virgin. Now notice the coming of the Son. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. This was to be no ordinary son. Listen to this carefully. That word Emmanuel, well, we hear that over and over again. The meaning of that is God with us. Now Jesus was not only a good man, he was not just a godly man, he was the God man. Jesus, who lay in that cradle 2,000 years ago, held the Creator, was God in the flesh, God with us. Even here in this verse, we see his humanity. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He's the earthly child of a heavenly father and a heavenly child of an earthly mother. He was the God-man. I like what John Phillips, the Bible scholar, says. The great mystery of the manger is that God should be able to translate deity into humanity without discarding the deity or distorting the humanity. He's fully God. He is forever God. March 5th, 1994, Salt Lake City, Utah. At the public library in Salt Lake City, Utah, there was a meeting of police officers. And that day, there was a deputy named Sheriff's deputy named Lloyd Prescott. He was the instructor for the day for all of these deputies. He was dressed in plain clothes. It was a relaxed atmosphere. When they had a break during this law enforcement instruction session, I want you to know that Prescott stepped out in the hall, I guess to go to a restroom, take a little break. And when he looked down the hall, he saw a gunman that had herded up 18 people from the hallways of the library into a room. Prescott rushed down the hall. He slipped into the room, and he was number 19 being held hostage. He listened carefully as the gunman said, "This is the order in which I'm going to kill all 18 of you unarmed men." Prescott lunged out from the side, introduced himself as a cop. There's a physical struggle, and Prescott was able to kill the shooter in that struggle. The only one who have rescued those unarmed people was Prescott. Listen to me carefully. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son to take on flesh in the garments of humanity, entered our world, joining us who were held hostage to our sin in order that He might set us free. Notice what else, the cause of His birth. Why did God have to come? Why did He have to be Emmanuel? Why did there have to be a virgin birth? Matthew 1:21 gives us the answer. "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Sin is the problem. Sin must be punished because God is holy. God's immutable, unbreakable law says this: "The soul that sins shall die, and the wages of sin is death." Just as sin is the problem, blood is the solution. There's only one remedy for sin. Hebrews 9:22. "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no cleansing, there is no forgiveness of our sin." Not just any blood's going to do. Just as the blood in a blood transfusion must be pure and clean, likewise, the blood that atones for our sins must be spotless. God will not allow one fraction of one iota of sin to go unpunished. Therefore, the substitute had to come to pay for our sin that we might escape God's judgment. There's only one person in all of human history that can meet that requirement for us, in His name is Jesus. Why did He do that? Romans 5:12. "Therefore, just as though one man, sin, entered the world, and death through us, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin." We'd all been infected by the sin virus, except one, born of a virgin. Why was that necessary? Well, you may know this, you may not know this, but medically speaking, when you study anatomy and physiology, you'll find that the father is the one that determines the bloodline of the baby. It's the father that determines the blood of that embryo. None of the blood of a baby carried in that embryo circulates through the mother's body. In fact, a child may have one blood type and the mother have an entirely different blood type. What blood was in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what it was. The very blood of God. Look at Acts 20:28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." The blood shed at Calvary was the blood of God Himself. Isaiah 7:14, we sing that verse. We recite that verse. But I want you to mark this down. Emmanuel is the first name God ever revealed to us as being the name of His Son. And I want you to know the name Emmanuel is only used two times in the New Testament, describing God's Son. How many of you have been lost in the snow? Lane's dad was an avid golfer. One February, Delane and I made our way up to North Carolina because her dad said, "We're staying in the mountains in a little thermal belt up here. It'll be warmer and we'll get in some golf." Have you ever talked to a golfer, an avid fisherman? I think they drink Prestone antifreeze to insulate themselves. So we went up there and one morning it was 32 degrees. He said, "Son, I believe it'll warm up a little bit." He said, "Now put on more clothes than you need, because if you get out there and you need more and you don't have them, you can't do anything about it." So we wore a lot of clothes, and the pro down there was a man named Scott. We love Scott. Blaine's dad led Scott to Christ. Scott said, "Y'all going out to play today? There's a prediction of snow." "Oh, we'll be fine." So I just followed my father-in-law. He said, "You know, y'all are the only ones on the course," and said, "get you a cart," and said, "I'm not even going to charge y'all for playing today." That's like, "You idiots. What are you doing?" You know what I'm talking about? Some of you ladies are thinking coupon here. This isn't coupon. We're doing stupid here. And so we got in this cart. We'd played this golf course many times. It rolls through the mountains. We went over the first mountain and got on the fourth hole, and I want you to know a blizzard came in. I mean, within 10 minutes, everything was blanketed. We couldn't see cart paths. We couldn't see anything. I said, and you know what he had us doing? Playing with orange golf balls so we could see them in the snow. After it reached about an inch and a half, 2 inches deep, and we couldn't see from here to the back of the sanctuary, I said, "You know, I think we ought to try to get back in, don't you?" He said, well, you know what a golf cart does in snow? Not much. I guarantee you it took us 45 minutes to an hour to find our way back to the clubhouse. And I ain't going to tell you what the people said when we walked in the clubhouse, but I do remember the pro said, "I thought I was going to have to send a search team out on snowmobiles to bring." That is the last time I played golf in the snow. Back in the pioneer days, especially in the north and the northeast, just blinding blizzards. Well, back in the pioneer days, how did you make your living? You mainly had to plant crops and raise livestock. They'd get up on a cold morning, blizzard would come in, and the men could not see from their cabin to their barn. But any farmer worth his salt knew that he had to milk the cows and feed his livestock. There were things that had to be done. I want you to know that there were pioneers that were found dead, frozen to death, within 6 feet of the door to their cabin because they had gone to the barn during a blizzard, got lost coming back, and finally hypothermia set in and they dropped dead. They could not see their barn 6 feet, their house 6 feet in front of their face. So I want you to know the pioneers got wise. They decided to start taking big, thick ropes. And during clear weather, they would nail a hook to the side of their cabin and tie the rope. And then they would take that rope all the way out to the barn, put a hook out there, and tie the rope. So the rope was connected from the barn to the house. And so when they had a blizzard, they knew they had to tend to the livestock. The men would go outside the cabin door and grab the rope, let it go through their hands all the way to the barn. When they finished working with the livestock, they needed to get back to the cabin. They just picked up the end of that rope and let it slide through their hands as they went back safely to the barn. Ladies and gentlemen, the only earthly rope we've been given to get us to heaven was purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't any blood. It's the blood of God that flowed through the veins of the virgin-born Son of God. So I want you to know the Christmas miracle is not Santa Claus. The Christmas miracle is not getting something that you never expected you would receive. The miracle of Christmas is the virgin birth of the Son of God, and we call His name Jesus. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed and eyes are closed?